I'm CM Punk, and you are listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
On SmackDown is 43 today. And David Flair, former WCW U.S. Heavyweight Champion and former WCW Tag Champion with Crowbar, I think at least once or twice. I know they won some tournament too. David Flair's 42 today. He was a smart Flair to get out of the business. I want to let you know the Pain Clinic is brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, Empire at Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby, want to be a skater, officiate, Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's flowercityfear.com, F-L-O-U-R. Welcome to the show today. I am the Cash Man, your humble host. I am here with Danger Boy. Good morning, Danger.
Good morning.
Hey, it's nice to see you. We're also here with the artiste, Rob Sanderson. How's it going, Rob?
Good morning.
Morning.
It's an exciting weekend.
It is. It is. We got a lot of stuff going on. And we're here with Furby, too. Furbs, what's happening, my man? Furbs in the strong style hat. That's old school.
Old school Nakamura here.
Yeah.
If you guys good morning, everybody.
You guys will see the pictures on our Facebook page. And he's got the Nakamura strong style hat. It's a lot of kicking involved, I believe, in strong style.
Yeah, got this at the NXT show. I think it was the last WWE show that we went to.
Oh, that's right. You got that mystery box or whatever, right?
With all the bunch of
stuff in it and everything, which is pretty cool. Definitely. So, hey, welcome to the show. We're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling. It was a crazy, crazy week last week. It's going to be a great, awesome weekend this week coming up because we've got AEW Revolution. And I want to start the show this week talking a little bit about, I think this past Wednesday, we got to see something unique. And besides the fact that the show was packed, but we got to see Shaq in the ring, and which is amazing because Shaq is a former basketball player, not a wrestler. But Shaq was teaming up with Jade Cargill against Cody Rhodes and what's her name?
Red Velvet.
My favorite cake, you know? I mean, I love the flavor of red velvet cake. So we had that going on. And one thing that
blew... Isn't it just chocolate?
Yeah, well, it's chocolate with like...
I don't know if that's just the gimmick. I've had it like once.
I had a red velvet cupcake this morning.
Oh, I love it. I was going to say, I think that basically it's just basic cake that's been dyed red. Maybe I'm wrong. It doesn't taste any different, but the frosting is what makes it that.
I had to start that tangent because I don't know. Got to stir it up like red velvet.
Yes, but just like on this past week on AEW Dynamite, the first match of the night starts off with Cody Rhodes coming out. And it's like, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, this is the thing you could build up to the very end of the show and do this, but they're just going to throw it right at you in the beginning. Which, and I will say,
You know, I loved it. I Shaq may not be the most nimble man on the planet, but man, he came. He did better than Snoop. I'll say that. You know, I mean, he made it through a match, and what really blew my mind was the table shot. But the thing that I think was the coolest is when he did the power bomb, you know, the Brody Lee power bomb, and freaking and that you know, what did I see, Mr. Artiste? Did you say that Shaq's got like a 90-day now out on any sort of mocking because he did that?
Oh yeah, I mean, Twitter blew up with that. That you can't really hate on Shaq after he busted out. I watching it live. He did the little like chef's kiss, put the arms out, and I was just like, that really just happened? And then you could hear the Brody chant from the crowd. I was like, this is awesome. I mean, the amount of people that have done little Brody tributes one way or another in recent months, I didn't expect one from Shaquille O'Neal.
No.
So pretty cool.
Well, negative one was backstage, so I'm guessing that, you know, maybe they were, maybe, you know, they you know, I mean, it was probably, what a wonderful thing to do for negative one when he was there too. He got twice he was on the show. Came out. What'd you think, Danger? What'd you think of Shaq? You know,
he looked like he put in a little work. He put in a little effort to learn what he was doing and do some stuff. And I'm not exactly sure why Austin Gunn decided he wanted to hit him with a chair, but that proved to be a bad idea. And he took that shot. He took the table shot. He did pretty well. I'm kind of wondering where he went out of the ambulance, not the limo, to the hospital. The ambulance. I'm not sure exactly a table shot.
It's more expensive than a limo. Yeah,
that's very true.
It is
in America.
But maybe they couldn't bill him because they couldn't find him. You know, because he's
easy guy to find. I feel like walking around. Like at one point, I was like, "Who's standing on the top rope?" Oh, that's Shaq just standing on the apron. He's that big.
Yeah.
Like,
but you know, the thing is, and it was obvious as day when he took that table shot when Cody landed on him and took him in through the table. Did you see the little tap he gave Cody when they were on the ground?
The little achy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm okay. Tap, tap, tap. But that, you know.
I think, like, he did really well. Like, I mean, the match wasn't great by any means, but Shaq played his role perfectly. And as soon as you saw that second table come out, it was just like, okay, that Shaq's going through this. This is going to be awesome. And perfect execution. I mean, credit to him and to Cody on that, but that was one of the most smooth table spots I've ever seen. So I enjoyed it for what it was. I mean, we didn't expect it to be a great match, but I think it did a little bit for everybody. And now is Shaq just disappear forever? Or is he going to show up on the NBA stuff this weekend? Or is he going to keep to the gimmick and not even show up to that?
Oh, he'll show up, and they're gonna replay it over and over. Everyone in the NBA world is gonna see it, and this time the NBA world's not gonna make fun of Chris Jericho. You know, they're gonna be loving some Shaq, because I thought that was great. I mean, kudos to him. You know, this is something, and you know, I always felt that the Big Show was gonna be involved. I'm sorry, Paul White was gonna be involved somehow. No BS, as his shirt said this past week. I thought he was going to be involved.
No Braxton Sutter.
Yeah, no Braxton Sutter and other things as well. But he, you know, he always was, Shaq was always, you know, going to fight the Big Show when he was in the WWE. There was something they were working on for such a long time. They can make it happen now. But, maybe they'll just drag that out. But he did do great. I'll give him a lot of credit. What did you think, Ferbs, man? Did that blow your mind?
Yeah, I honestly was very impressed. Out of the recent celebrity appearances we've seen in wrestling TV, I thought Shaq was right up there with Pat McAfee, honestly. I mean, he had the presence. He looked the part. I mean, he looked pretty fluent when he was in the ring with Cody. I mean, I was very impressed for a guy his size who really doesn't have a lot of formal training. So, I was very impressed. But the one part of the match that I was more impressed with was actually Red Velvet and Jade Cargill. You know, the first real exposure on AEW of Jade Cargill, and her and Red Velvet in the ring together. They got most of the time in the match, which was kind of expected, but I thought the match overall was really, really good for what it was.
Yeah,
I heard the best description of Jade Cargill was a combination of Scott Steiner and every video game wrestler ever. Do a move, do a pose, do a move, do a pose. Do a move, do a pose.
Well, the down button, the taunt move.
I almost thought that she was, you know, when she got down and started doing the push-ups in the ring, it's like, oh, it's a little pop-up pump, you know? It's like I thought she was going to bust out with Papa Pump there, and she started posing. Yeah, every move. You're right. It was move a pose, man. She was, but she's got like
just build up her.
What was that?
She was trying to build up her finisher. That's what she was trying to do.
Well,
build up all that. She's definitely shown potential there. I mean, she's not there yet. Neither is Red Velvet, but you can tell both of them. Red Velvet's improved a lot, and Jade definitely, obviously, has the look. So, I mean, she's somebody that can put in the work, get enough coaching from everybody there and stuff that there could be a bright future there for sure.
Think about it. How many people was at their first match? The first match we saw on at least Dynamite. I mean, that's the first time we saw Jade. That's the first time Shaq was in a match, you know. Yeah. And that's, and I think Red Velvet, she hadn't been on Dynamite yet. She was been on Dark for.
Well, I think she's had a few matches on.
But
she has one of those really not very impressive winning streaks, or like I think it was like 8 of 9 she's won recently, but most of them were squashes on Dark. So
mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I think I loved it. I gotta say kudos to them, because they started off with the thing that I think that they were going to draw the most people watching, but then they had a solid night of wrestling the rest of the way. You know, I mean, we got to see Tully Blanchard in the ring later in the show. You know, and Tully doing his slingshot suplex, which, of course he's got to do that. That's his signature move. But, you know, and then Arn comes out and gives him flashes the four to him after that, which, you know, of course, you know, FTR loved that because, I mean, they're old school, you know, and that's super old school. That was fun. And it was.
I popped for Shivani telling JJ Dillon, you're not getting paid extra for that.
That was, I bet, ad-libbed a bit, because it's like JJ just wouldn't go away. You know, we've had him on the show a few times. He's a good dude, but I don't think he's worked in wrestling quite a while. But that was, you know, but you know, the one thing on the show that came out is when Paul White came out for the interview, is he said that they're going to, his major star is going to be debuting, and besides the fact that he called it Evolution instead of Revolution, and I think he might have been mistaking it with a WWE All Women's pay per view, but he hinted at that he said that he's going to have a major announcement on a Hall of Famer, he said, WWE star coming to AEW on the pay per view, and
Hall of Fame caliber.
Okay.
Which makes you think it's somebody who's not, like, helps maybe narrow down that it's not a current Hall of Famer, but somebody who has those credentials.
True. So the question is before we go to break here, who do we think that he's talking about? Who's free that can be there on Sunday night?
I saw a few names. The three biggest names that I've been seeing are Christian, CM Punk, and then a heel turn of it being actually Paul White.
See, that's what I thought was Paul White, because he's like, hey, I signed, but I didn't sign to wrestle, but I'm going to wrestle or something. You know, that's an option. But, I mean, I didn't hear CM Punk, but CM Punk has been dabbling in, you know, he needs to make, I don't know if he really needs to make a living, but he I think he likes wrestling, and I think he's had talks with AEW before. What do you think, Rob? Is there anyone you think?
People have also said Kurt Angle. People have also said a few others. RVD was another one that people think either could be that or could be the sixth person in the ladder match, the face of the Revolution ladder match, which that we won't find out to the pay-per-view. My guess is Christian, which I think would be huge. You know, if WWE isn't actually going to use him other than that Rumble appearance, then, I mean, he fits that description. He seems good to go. And I think that would be fun. I mean, his biggest success has been outside of WWE anyway, in terms of single stuff. So,
sure.
You know, after he had all those years as a tag wrestler in WWE, was set free, went to TNA, became a champion, and, you know, obviously went back to WWE and they made him a little bit of a bigger star. But, I think that's maybe my main guess, but I'm looking forward to seeing who it'll be. I don't know. I'm always skeptical about the Punk rumors, but think about how huge that would be. We're in an age, we always talk about how like TV is kind of more important than pay-per-views. And so like if CM Punk was to show up, I almost feel like it would be a bigger deal to just do it on a Dynamite when anybody can quickly tune in or something like that than a pay-per-view where you're not getting as many eyeballs on it. But Christian's my guess.
Danger?
Yeah, Christian's the one I want to see, and that was my first like thought of someone outside the box that it could be. It wouldn't surprise me if it was like an RVD, It would be huge if it was Punk, but I doubt that's going to be it. There was names dropped like Batista and Lesnar and stuff like that, and it's not going to be them.
Mark Henry.
Yeah, but Mark Henry's already a Hall of Famer. So if you go Hall of Fame caliber and you count that as someone who's not in the Hall of Fame already, then you can count the RVDs. You can count kind of the Ken Shamrocks could be someone. He's kind of disappeared off Impact lately. It could be anybody. It could be Pat McAfee. We heard rumors, or he was going back and forth with Cody earlier in the week. You know, he's a Hall of Fame caliber punter.
True.
He didn't say Hall of Fame caliber wrestler.
No, that's true.
My guess is it's going to be Paul White himself.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. After thinking about it for a while, but you know what? It's fun to figure it out. I guess we'll find out pretty soon.
If it was Paul White, that's like a WWE quality swerve where you're just going to upset your fans. I don't see Tony Khan doing that to his fan base. I think it's got to be somebody. Maybe it's not going to be somebody as big as Christian or Kurt Angle or RVD, but I can't see them disappointing people like that on purpose.
Well,
I've also heard AJ Lee thrown out as well.
I will say this. Angle is in the WWE Hall of Fame, I believe. Didn't he go in last year?
True.
Yeah, so yes. He technically hasn't been put in. 2017, okay, so.
Is Mark Henry in already?
I think Mark Henry's in, too, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
I believe so.
Yeah,
RVD is not.
RVD is not.
And Batista's supposed to be in, too, so.
Well, I guess it could be just about anybody. I guess we'll find out, but we're going to go to break on that. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Danger Boy, the Artiste, Furby, and DC. Dan Cole's moving, so we're probably not going to see him today. You know, I'm pretty sure we aren't. He's moving this weekend, but he's moving from an apartment to a house, which is always pretty cool. So congratulations, DC, and the doctor. His wife is a doctor, so it's Doctor and Dan Cole. Welcome back to the show. We're here talking the world of pro wrestling. I'm going to kind of segue right back into AEW talk because I wanted to go there before we went to break. Didn't have time, but we got AEW Revolution this weekend, and a lot of intriguing matches on this. We've seen one thing that I think is going to draw some people, and I'm just suggesting that this might be is Sting is going to be in a match. We got to see Sting in the last couple of weeks, one, get beat down by Brian Cage. You know, I mean, it wasn't like he kept beating him down. He just hit him like once and then just walked away. But Sting came back and like kicked, Ricky Starks all over the place on this past week. So we're going to get that match, which I think a lot of people are intrigued with to see how Sting can do and everything. And we, like I said, last segment, we had Tully Blanchard in the match. So you got a combination of the retirement home and the young guys at the same time. Sting and Darby Allin, and everyone loves Darby. I think it was like a year ago when Darby really started his ascent. But there's some great matches. we get to see Shida take on, what's her name, Mizunami? I don't know. What?
Ryu Mizunami.
Mizunami, yeah. That, I was impressed with that match, believe it or not, on AEW this past week. I thought that was
That was probably the best Nyla Rose match that I've seen.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I will agree with that, yeah.
They were doing some crazy... I mean, but obviously, Rio, whatever her name is, she does some weird stuff. Like, you know, she's like kind of reminds me of Curly from the Three Stooges with some of the goofy stuff she does in the match where she's like standing there and like doing the same kind of goofy move over and over in a corner.
Kind of like what you were talking about earlier with Jade where it was like move, pose, yeah. Like... Keep going.
yeah. It was, but they were gonna.
It wasn't. I will agree. It was Nyla's best match, and it wasn't bad, but it was far from the best match of that women's tournament. I will say that.
Oh, for sure.
No, but it was too big.
I was just gonna say it was two big ladies
sorry. Throwing each other around. Man, that was pretty good. I enjoyed that. You know, I mean,
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ferbs.
I just a little disappointed. Just a little disappointed the way that the women's division is kind of going because it kind of almost felt like once you had the one Japanese side of the bracket, you know, winning, I mean, I don't foresee Shida losing the title at Revolution. So it's like, why not throw someone who might actually have more of a chance at contending in the match and taking the title?
Well, the problem with that one is they brought her over from Japan to have this match. she has to quarantine anyways for 2 weeks before going back. They're not going to bring over from Japan for one match. So they're going to use her for what they can.
Yeah, no, I get it. And it makes sense, obviously, from that standpoint. It's just like, I'd rather see somebody else in that spot, like a Britt Baker. I mean, since Penelope Ford had her one match, I mean, she fell off the face of the earth. I mean, it's unfortunate that Anna Jay's hurt. You know, even Rio, I would have rather seen, but.
Well, you're gonna get.
I mean, we get that match on the buy-in.
Yeah, I was
gonna
say,
I'm looking forward to that one more than the women's title match. Yeah, to sure. Be
Britt Baker and Rebel.
Even though we don't know, I mean, Reba or Rebel might not be in the match anyway, so we'll see if she gets a replacement. But
okay, I was gonna say Thunder Rosa and Rio. It's interesting. So we got that. We also have the Casino Tag Team Royal for a future AEW World Tag Team Championship. But against who? That's the question. Will it be the Young Bucks or will it be the Inner Circle? You know, it's like we got the Inner Circle, MJF and Chris Jericho, which, you know, I think they wouldn't have built this up as long as they have to not have them take the titles off the Bucks. But I got thinking that maybe we'll eventually get the split and the big money match between Jericho and MJF. It's funny as I saw
it. I really hope there's not a title change there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so against that. I know like a lot of the talk this week was acknowledging that Jericho and MJF are singles wrestlers, and then Jericho mentioning his tag team history and stuff. But to me, like, let the Good Brothers interfere, whatever you need to do, but don't take, if you're going to take the titles off the Bucks, don't give them to these two singles guys.
Well, but you know what, obviously they're trying to make a big match in the future between MJF and Chris Jericho. But Chris Jericho is being, you know, he mentioned, I saw in an interview that he mentioned that MJF reminded him a lot of a young Kurt Angle, maybe for his comedic timing and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, I
wouldn't be opposed to seeing a Sammy Guevara appearance costing Jericho and MJF the.
That was kind of a touchy subject this weekend, on Dynamite this week, when they brought up Guevara's name and how Jericho said, "No, he's out." But I also thought it was pretty cool on Dynamite is when they were doing the press conference, and it's like we got to see Conrad Thompson there, as well as they brought Eric Bischoff back again. I don't know. I like Bischoff in that, you know, it was basically a bunch of podcasters asking questions. And then the boys from Barstool, whatever, were there.
Ugh.
I know. I seen that dude. But, you know, they didn't see any guys from the pain clinic there. I certainly would have come down if they would have wanted it, you know. I'm just saying, you know. I got vacation, you know. Just saying, you know. But
it's not a press conference when you involve Barstool. At that point, there's no legitimacy left.
Yeah. Well,
anyway,
at least he didn't carry his beer up there with him, you know, so it was okay. So we got Adam Page and Matt Hardy. We talked about this before, the match for all the money for whatever, three quarters of the year, whatever. I dig Adam Page. You know, I mean, he's definitely got a lot of, you know, I love his finisher, though. I mean, man, that is time. You got to time that thing out, man. That finisher has got to be like, everyone's got to be ready for it, because, man, you slip up once and you miss it, you know, and it looks
that
stupid.
That buckshot lariat.
Yeah, yeah.
You literally might take somebody's head off.
Yeah, you do that flip and then freaking, you know, yeah. But
I think the match could be really good there. I'm intrigued to see Hangman win the match and then see what he does with all his extra money from Matt Hardy's first quarter earnings. If he goes and buys a bunch of horses that now all come to the ring with him or something. I think that's where a little bit of the intrigue is there for me, but that's one of the matches I'm looking forward to the most.
Definitely. And do you think that, I've noticed that he's got the horse in his video now, and it's like, now he's becoming a real cowboy, Adam Page, you know, I mean, real, real cowboy. You know, I mean, maybe he will come out on a horse, or, I mean, he's done it before. So
maybe he'll come out on a couple of Jaguars at the home of the Jags.
Yeah, you know. It would be interesting. That's for sure. We got Cody.
Restaurant quality, picture in picture.
Cody Rhodes hot off his match with in a Face of Resolution ladder match for a future AEW TNT championship match. Cody Rhodes, Scorpio Sky, which Scorpio Sky is interesting listening to his commentary, because I couldn't figure out who it was for a while until someone mentioned who it was. But it was like, and then you got Penta, Lance Archer, and Max Caster, and then someone else to be named, the big mystery. CM Punk? No.
RVD.
RVD. Maybe RVD. RVD still wants to wrestle. I mean, he's been making this big deal about this WWE Network thing that he's done recently. His whole career, they're doing like a Rob Van Dam you know, focus show on the network. So, you know, before at least it turns to the Peacock network, which is coming fast.
A few weeks.
Yeah.
This is the match I'm looking forward to the most. Obviously intrigued to see who gets put into that. But we talked, you know, last week about Lance Archer becoming a star. To me, Scorpio Sky, they built him up and then he kind of trailed off a little bit and then he got hurt. But to me, he's still a future world champion in that company. So I think this match could be just awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And with Sky this week, they had some kind of heel undertones to his commentary too. So that would line up with going against Darby with the title. So I wouldn't be surprised if he won.
And that was the other thing they did mention. Tony Khan mentioned on Thursday that the whoever wins that ladder match gets the shot on Wednesday. So it's a quick turnaround for that title match.
Nice, nice. If Sting, it's a tag match, so he's not, the belt's really not up for anything right now with Brian Cage and Ricky Starks versus Darby Allin and Sting. Right. But I like Kenny Omega versus John Moxley. I mean, I can't imagine they would turn around and give it back to Moxley, but then they could, you know. I don't know. Maybe someone else from Impact Wrestling shows up. I don't think that's over with, that's for sure, especially after last week when they had like six AEW wrestlers in the video on Impact Wrestling, you know, taking shots and laughing at them, you know. There's a lot of, this sounds like a good night of wrestling if you definitely tomorrow night you want to check it out. And I mentioned earlier Casino Tag Team Royal for a future AEW tag team championship. You know, I don't know if it's like gonna be like Money in the Bank and they're gonna get it immediately or not, but I think we're gonna break on that and then we're gonna come back and talk a little bit about this huge rumor, and it's probably true, I'm guessing it's true as much about NXT as well as talk a little bit about what kind of week it was for Bobby Lashley and The Miz. You're listening to The Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Furby, Danger Boy, and the Artiste, and you. And what a week it was for the man they call Lashley. Bobby Lashley, I'm going to be completely honest with you. We started talking about it, and I had to make sure we stopped talking about it until we went on the air, because after the second time that the Miz screwed him out of a chance for the belt on Monday Night Raw, I kind of fell asleep and didn't know about it until I woke up the next morning that they did a lumberjack match and then it wasn't like Miz even tried. He got ragdolled and it was over. Boom, boom, boom. Lashley is the WWE champion. Man, about time. That's what I'm going to say. We've been talking about for a couple of weeks about how Drew McIntyre and Lashley burned down Impact Wrestling a couple of years ago when they were in the main events for like a bunch of pay-per-views in a row. And it's about time that we get to see this possibly at WrestleMania. Danger, what'd you think of Lash?
I loved it. I love every minute of it. I love him squashing The Miz. I love him being dominant. I love the fact they actually paid off the angle. I thought when they were getting towards the end of the show there, they came down in the last like 5 minutes. I'm going, oh, they're going to push us out to Fastlane. And it didn't need to go out to Fastlane. Fastlane is there to be a test for WrestleMania this year. That's the only reason they're having that pay-per-view. It's a test to make sure Peacock can support the live wrestling. But Lashley deserves it. Lashley's been the best thing on Raw. Lashley and Drew McIntyre for the last year have been the best things on Raw. I love Lashley with MVP. It worked in Impact. It made him a different person. It's made him a different person in WWE. And they have a credible champion.
I don't think they booked him right in the beginning when he first came back, when they tagged him up with a bunch of different people. I think they didn't start booking him right until MVP got control of him. What do you think?
That's 100%.
Yeah. What do you think, Artiste? Yeah.
When he was with... Oh. I was just going to say, when he was with Leo Rush, it didn't really work.
Yeah. Artiste, what do you think? I mean...
I'm happy to see Lashley take it, and I don't really have a huge problem with making Miz look like the most cowardly heel of all time. I just hope that they have a plan for Miz going forward, and a, not just a Bad Bunny plan. And that's probably what it's going to be. But I don't know. They booked themselves into a corner after the whole thing with Otis and then Miz having it. And I don't know. I guess it was fine the way it happened. I hope Lashley now gets to be a dominant champion and gets to hold this past WrestleMania and really prove himself with defenses against a lot of different people, and that it's not another quick title reign here. Well, so I would have been okay if they pushed it to Fastlane like the way that was going. I'll be honest, I wasn't watching Raw, and then it was like 9:45, and I was like, all right, let me turn on Raw because that match, I knew that match was happening, and I figured it was going to be the end of the show. Then I realized that I'm still living on 5 years of Central Time, and there's still another hour of Raw, and so I wasn't actually going to miss it because it was an hour earlier, but then they did the whole WWE thing with like, okay, this isn't really happening yet, now we got to wait another hour. But overall, I mean, I think it was pulled off well. Just hope that they do the right thing moving forward. And like I said last week, I want McIntyre to get it back at some point, but I don't want it to be for months.
Well, the danger brought up was a couple weeks ago, McIntyre hasn't had a chance to win it in front of a crowd. And now they're going to have people at the stadium, even though Vince is totally against having cut out paper people. I don't know how they're going to make it look packed without that. But Furby,
if Lashley has the belt right now, and say he does drop it to Drew, is Lashley getting through one defense at Fastlane and holding it to WrestleMania? Like, does that make him look weak if he drops it at WrestleMania, or is there enough little time there to keep him as like a main event guy? To me, like I want to see him hold it till SummerSlam, but maybe it would be okay if he drops it at Mania, as long as they keep him in the picture after that.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah. It's not going to be a one and done, I'm thinking. But Furbs, what do you think about The Miz? I mean, you know, what's your thoughts on that?
I was a little disappointed, to be honest. I'm a big Miz fan, and the fact that, I mean, I get the fact that he's playing up the cowardly heel and trying to escape the title match, and I get that. I just wish, being in the main event in his first defense of the being WWE champion, he was going to have a little bit more of a competitive match. I get, obviously, Lashley, they're trying to make him dominant and legitimate, but it stunk. But, you know, congrats to Bobby Lashley. You know, I'm happy. I was watching or listening to After the Bell, Corey Graves' podcast this past week, and they were talking about guys that Lashley wants to face at WrestleMania. Drew McIntyre was the first thing that came out of his mouth. And after that, he also mentioned Brock Lesnar in a potential triple threat with Drew McIntyre. So that's kind of intriguing. And it also kind of makes you think about, you know, earlier when we saw some early rumors of Lesnar, Keith Lee, and Drew McIntyre being the triple threat, whether Bobby Lashley stepped in and took the spot that Keith Lee may have had at one point.
Is Keith Lee, do we know why he got taken out of that pay-per-view? Has there been an answer yet to that?
The rumor is that he's injured, but no one knows what's injured.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say that's the only reason why he wouldn't be in the mix of everything. But I heard the things about Brock Lesnar, too. And it's like, you know, if he's not showing up on AEW, on the pay-per-view tomorrow night, I think, man, Brock Lesnar, you know, everyone likes that payday, you know. I mean, believe me, it's not like he wants to leave. He's just not under contract anymore, you know. It's Brock. But, you know, I've seen, you know, Lashley and McIntyre work, and they work great. And by the way, if we do a match of the week, I'm going to vote for Sheamus and McIntyre for Monday night, because that kicked some butt, man. That was
That was a great match.
Yeah,
that was fantastic. They have great chemistry.
That I was really surprised. You know, they gave him 25 minutes on a Monday night to wrestle multiple commercials or whatever. But you know, I just don't think I don't think McIntyre's done. And I think, you know, I mean, not even getting the immediate rematch before, you know, but The Miz, on the other hand, is like Miz, you know, I think that someone, you know, came to him and said, you're going to be the transition champ, you know this, so you got to look as weak as possible. So that's what we got Monday night, was like, I've never seen a weaker looking Miz on TV ever.
Well, the Miz hasn't done anything of note in how long. He had the thing with Otis, but what else has he really done? He said
like one win in a year.
Yeah, he cashed in the Money in the Bank. He never really earned it. And he got paid. He paid for it.
I mean, he really hasn't done... with Renee Young the other day, and about how he didn't know until that afternoon that he was taking it.
Really? So,
yeah.
Well, he was carrying.
They
kind
of kept him in it because that's the big rumor now is they're trying to do whatever they can to basically keep the talent in the dark because they don't want anything leaking and whatever.
I saw that people are going to get fined if things get out, and only people are going to know what their matches are and stuff like that. I heard that too. But before we get out of this segment, I do want to talk about probably one of the biggest pieces of news we heard this past week. I know we wait till the third segment to talk about it, but NXT apparently is moving to Tuesday. I'm not really sure the reasons behind it. Danger?
They haven't really mentioned a reason, but it's probably because when they go unopposed, they draw better crowds. And it might be a night that they have something planned for in the fall or something. They're going to get everybody started early. I'm not 100% sure why they're going to move it, but from everything that's going around, they've already informed advertisers their ads will be on Tuesdays, and they're going to move to Tuesdays. And as much as it sounds like a loss for WWE, it's a win for everybody. It's both shows will get better ratings, and everyone will be able to watch everything at the same time. I like flicking back and forth for nostalgia's sake, but it wasn't really a wrestling war. I record them both and watch them both back later anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't go back and forth. I watch AEW, and then I see things in the group chat about NXT, and sometimes when AEW's over, then I'll go on the DVR and go back and watch certain things on NXT. But I agree with the part about if NXT moves to Tuesday, there's plenty I watch on Tuesday as well, between Impact and Dark and stuff. So I kind of wish it was Thursday, to be honest. But regardless, this is a victory for AEW. It also means that somebody like me is probably going to watch a lot more NXT than he has been. So I agree. It's kind of a win-win all around.
Yeah, and I don't think it'll affect Impact at all because people can't find Impact as it is now already. You have to have access TV, and not every place has access TV on this planet. But
I feel like it could hurt Impact just because the people who do, like, Impact's ratings aren't great, but the people who do watch Impact likely are going to watch NXT or do watch NXT. I don't think there's many people watching Impact that don't pay any attention to anything else or to NXT. Yeah. So that I'm kind of interested to see what happens with that because that could be a blow to them, which they don't really have a ton of viewers to lose, in recent years compared to the old days.
And they do get somewhat of a following on their Twitch channel too. That's how I watch it. But yeah, like RT said, I think it could affect Impact because wrestling fans who are watching Impact aren't like oblivious to the world. They're probably hardcore wrestling fans if they're watching Impact. Yeah. Tune in NXT Day nights. So, I think it could hurt it potentially.
I mean, we've talked too about how like the world has changed from like the last couple decades and not as many people are watching TV and things like that. Honestly, like something like a Shaq appearance, a Shaq match, like that still didn't bust a million viewers. If it's unopposed, yeah, it probably does, but that's still, like less than Impact 10 years ago or whatever. So yeah. I agree that it's overall, it just makes sense for everybody.
It does. Yeah, it does. And, and you're right, Furby. I was just thinking a lot of people watch MLW, there's other places to watch wrestling, YouTube,
Jacob Fatu and Jordan Oliver this week on MLW. Pretty good.
That was a fantastic match. I thought Jordan Oliver was going to take the title for a moment. I watch about seven different promotions a week along with any independent wrestling show. So the more you can spread it out, the better for me.
Yeah, the thing is it's like,
and I'm scared because now we got a Dark Evolution, all this stuff coming too.
Yeah, that or whatever. And supposedly the new NXT
Dark Elevation, whatever.
Yeah, they have the new NXT show that JB is going to be booking soon too. So who knows where they're going to put that?
And then the next AEW show to come to TNT.
It's like a whole second job.
Yeah.
So then Sunday Night Heat will come back.
Yeah. Why not? The only thing we don't have is Thursday night right now. Because and then, without, it's usually the weekend.
Don't give anybody any ideas. I need a night off.
Yeah. Too much. The thing is, honestly, I didn't watch Impact until because there are some, some. I watched some network television. Network television has kind of been in the toilet since COVID happened, but some things are starting to show up now. If you like network shows, and I'm like a big geek for like the DC Comics shows, so they all started again on Tuesday. So it just makes it I have to find time to watch Impact at a later time or earlier time or whatever. But it's still it's still a good show. And I did watch that behind, was it Before the Impact show?
Before the Impact, yeah.
That dude's a goof. Is the dude who's hosting it is a goof. He is a total goof. So it is. You're right. It was that guy. It was that guy that was doing the pre-shows, you know?
Yeah, the show itself actually wasn't too impressive to me, honestly, besides Gia Miller. I agree.
She'd be very,
pretty much all it is just a replay of the previous week with a dark match before Impact starts, so...
Yeah, and, they're trying to build up intrigue still. I think AEW's, the great crossover, but I still think Impact is limited to Access TV, and I think and as well as the Twitch channel and stuff. But we got to take a break on that. Got one more segment. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Danger Boy, the Artiste, Furby, Pete Dunne, and you. Oh no, Pete Dunne's not here. This is just his music, by the way. Have you seen the Pete Dunne beefcake shots that he did like this past week? Dude's got a six pack. It's like he wears the weirdest tights in the world. He got these little legs, but man, he's built. He definitely rededicated himself to getting a better body, and he's definitely bet much better shape now. So that's good for Pete Dunne. Plus, he had that incredible match against Finn Balor. Some news this week. We got Finn Balor is going to be wrestling Adam Cole next Wednesday night on NXT for the title. And I will say that him versus Roderick Strong this past week was a pretty good match. I forgot how Roddy was the kind of guy who could sell forever and then all of a sudden pull out these sick moves at the end of a match. And man, it was a good match. It's just Finn killed him in the end. I mean, he hit like three like finishers in a row and it was over. But man, it was a fun match. Any of you guys get to see that?
Yeah, yeah. I just wish it was a little longer. It was getting towards the end of the show. I'm like, oh, I wish these guys had another 5 to 10 minutes. It would have been even better.
It was nice to see Roderick Strong in a singles match. I can't remember the last time we've seen Roderick Strong in a singles match. So it was a nice treat. Obviously, he's a great in-ring performer, and him and Baylor really had a great match to close the show.
Yeah, it was nice to see. And it's obviously Finn Balor can have a good match with anybody from the Undisputed Era. I'm sorry, there's no longer an Undisputed Era, but Adam Cole is taking him on this Wednesday, so you definitely want to look for that. A lot of rumors going around, and mentioned it a little bit earlier about Pat McAfee trying to get in with AEW. Pat McAfee, was he really under contract to WWE, or was he just like, I don't know what was going on with him, but he had that one match and then suddenly they erased him from everything from then on. We didn't really get, he was like managing the tag team and everything. And then now he's just kind of like not even associated with them, even though he talks about them all. He's talking about what I've noticed in the last couple of weeks. He's been talking about how Adam Cole is such a scumbag and he was right all along. And it's like, which I thought was pretty funny.
And they put that on TV the week right after he turned too. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but I just want, do you think Pat really wants to get an AEW? Or, he did give Shaq compliments on his match this past week. But so
Tony Khan, I think Cody had said something too, but Tony acknowledged that Pat has been trying So I don't need it. I'm not going to go on my Pat McAfee hate rant. My whole thing with AEW is they keep adding people and they keep adding people. And I don't dislike anybody they're adding, but they don't have enough time to dedicate to all these people without getting rid of anybody. So like you got more people coming in tomorrow night with a pay-per-view. Like we don't need Pat McAfee right now.
Okay, I'll jump to another news story. Legendary pro wrestler promoter Jim Crockett Jr. passed away, died this past Wednesday at the age of 76. Been hospitalized over the weekend and reports that he was suffering from liver and kidney failure. If you're a fan of NWA wrestling back from like the 70s and early 80s, Jim Crockett used to show up all the time on the show. He was kind of like what was the WWE president that used to be
Jack Tu- Tunney?
Yeah, he was like Jack Tunney. He'd always be they'd always go to him for like the big matches and stuff, and you know, but he was around when WCW started. He was he's the one who sold, I think, the company to Ted Turner. So he definitely had a part. And his dad started the whole company, Senior, Jim Crockett Senior. But he was everyone loved him. I mean, Ric Flair wouldn't be Ric Flair if it wasn't for Jim Crockett Jr. and maybe Ole Anderson booking. And you heard it here. Ole Anderson used to, you know, he's one of the guys that booked Ric Flair to the moon when he was like in charge. So. But that's sad, a little bit sad going on this past week. NXT wrestler Casey Catanzaro was apparently tore her LCL. It's a minor LCL tear, but they don't know how long. She's so little. I mean, I always feel that girl's going to get killed by someone every time I see her in a match. Do you guys see the heel what was it, the screw job by on NXT this past week?
Yeah,
Adam
Pearce.
Adam Pearce.
The interesting thing about that at the end of the show with William Regal talking about that big news, it seems like possibly for the women's tag division in NXT. So we'll see. I'm interested to see what's going to happen out of that.
Yeah, we got to, you know, call the bell, throw the referee in. Yeah, she's the legal one in. Boom, boom, boom. And that we still have a WWE women tag champs because they won the match. So it was interesting. I will definitely say that was, NXT, you know, they put up some good stuff against what AEW was doing sometimes. I mean, I sometimes watch pitcher and pitcher and pitcher. So like when they go, you know, when JR tells us it's better than restaurant or whatever, or, you know,
I can't stand it every time. I cringe.
Yeah. They go pitcher and pitcher.
Restaurant
quality. They'll go pitcher and pitcher, and I'll go pitcher and pitcher and pitcher and put on an NXT and let those guys pitcher and pitcher stay in my pitcher and pitcher. I'm getting
Please
confused.
Do not tell JR that, because then he'll never shut up about that either.
So, yeah. So some other news. Dark Side of the Ring Confidential is a show that's going to be premiere March 9th on the Vice TV. It's an extension of the record-breaking Dark Side of the Ring series where a bunch of guys sit around and talk about it. It'd be interesting to watch, I guess, but check out March 9th on Vice TV.
I think it'll
TV.
Be fun.
Yeah,
I mean, Conrad's hosting it. I know Blue Meanie went in. They filmed a bunch of stuff at the ECW Arena, saw the setup and stuff, so I'm looking forward to it. I mean, the series has been great, but this will be a nice little filler before we get season 3 later this year.
And it's coming. So yep. Some news. New Japan announced that the unification of the IWGP Heavyweight Championship and the IWGP Intercontinental Championship, both being held by Ibushi there. He holds both of them. And the final title defense of the two belts will be on Thursday this week, next week, this week, next week. Sorry. April 4th, sorry. It's interesting that they've been talking about merging. You know, how many belts do they have in New Japan? You ever notice they have like about 1,000?
A ton.
Yeah.
They've got seven, I believe.
Yeah. They're...
Can they just unify them, though, and keep the actual heavyweight belt? Because that's such an awesome-looking belt.
Oh, it is.
Please do not retire that belt.
They said they're coming out.
AJ Styles brought that to 2CW. Everybody was like drooling over it. I've never seen anybody react to seeing a belt in person like that before.
Yeah, they said they're coming out with a whole brand new design. I'm pretty sure.
Well, interesting note, Wrestle Grand Slam is going to be hitting Yokohama Stadium and Tokyo Dome this May. They announced that their March 4th anniversary event's going to be outdoors. And it's nice to see some things happening in this world. It's pretty cool that they're doing them outdoors as well. It seems to make sense with COVID-19 and everything, the way the world runs now. But I thought that was pretty cool. One last piece of news. ECW Press is putting out an Austin 316 Facts and Stories book. It's funny, I see that Steve Austin's not involved at all in writing it, so I don't know how serious I could take that. But, maybe I'll look into it a little bit more and figure that out. One last thing. I don't know if this matters or not. It doesn't matter to me whatsoever, but WWE on-air talent Kayla Braxton took to her Twitter and announced that she is bisexual. Whip-dee-doo, you know? Who isn't, okay? Okay, well, but Kayla is. And so for some reason, she announces it, and then she stops her, you know, she deletes her Twitter. So she goes, apparently people were asking her things about, you know, are you black? Are you white? You know, and then she's like, I'm tired of answering all these stupid questions. So it's like, you know, but, I thought it was interesting that
social media can be good and it can also be the worst.
I would agree 100%. Yeah. And so You know.
Just one more quick thing about wrestling news too. NWA announced their return this coming week.
I saw that first show with a pay-per-view
on Fight TV Sunday, March 21st at 2 p.m. Again, it's on Fight TV. Back for the attack, and then they're going to have tapings the following 2 days. So it's going to be NWA Power still. It will not be on YouTube. It's going to be for a small fee on Fight TV. So NWA is coming back.
Very cool.
It's risky. How many people do they have on the roster?
Like six. Yeah, six I was going to say. I think, yeah. Last time I saw.
Speaking
and they're all champions.
LA Knight debuted this past week in the actual auditorium, for NXT. So that was cool. We got to get out of here. Next week, we'll have plenty of news about who is the big signee by AEW, as well as we're on our road to WrestleMania. What's going to happen with Bobby Lashley? Who's he going to take on next at Fastlane? The Miz? Who knows what's going on? And all that stuff's going to happen. Please check out our website, thepainclinic.net. All our old shows are there. You can find us on iTunes, all the places online to find them. And we'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.